Today's episode is brought to you by Lufthansa. Time flies comfortably when you're enjoying every minute, every detail, and every little indulgence on your flight. Lufthansa. Nonstop you.
Nintendo launches Super Mario Run on Apple mobile devices next week. It's being called a defining moment. Is this Nintendo's first step into a brand new era?
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York, and we're just a week away from what some are calling a defining moment for Nintendo. Nintendo will bring its Super Mario Run game to Apple's mobile devices, a bold move to say the least, and a big effort to stay relevant in the competitive and ever-evolving video game market. Smartphone and tablet games make up the biggest piece of the $100 billion video game industry pie. They're projected actually to generate almost $37 billion in revenue worldwide this year. This eclipses consoles and computer games each for the first time ever. Nintendo hopes to cash in on that pie while luring casual gamers to its fading console business. Can it? Will it? Are we on the cusp of a defining moment? Let's dive right into it. Back with the Tech News Briefing, friend of the podcast, The Wall Street Journal's Brian Fitzgerald. Welcome back, Brian.
Hi, Tony.
So, as gamers wait with bated breath for Nintendo, once known to shun smartphones, incidentally, you know, they're about to launch Super Mario Run on Apple devices next week. There's a lot to think about big picture here. Where to start? Because, you know, Nintendo is putting its best-known game slash character on rival hardware. Let's start there.
Yeah. I mean, like, you just hit the nail. It's such an important point. For people to recognize is it's, you know, we think of Nintendo and we think of the machine that sits in the living room, you know, be it, and right now it's the Wii U, it used to be the Wii, but that's not Nintendo's best-selling system. Their best-selling system right now is their handheld, which is called the 3DS, some variations of that name. And what Nintendo's doing with Super Mario Run is taking its most recognizable and valuable property, which is the character Mario, and they're putting it on a rival piece of hardware. An iPhone. An iPhone is a piece of hardware you carry around and play games on. That's what the 3DS is.
Right.
And that's Nintendo's most lucrative market. And so that's a big step and a big, you can call it a concession, you can call it a bold move. I think it's a significant development for the company.
Yeah. But while we're talking about bold moves here, $9.99 for this in a world where most mobile apps are free, is that a risk?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely a risk. Nintendo's been criticized for that. We're in a time when people expect high-quality games that they can download free. And then the games generate revenue by constantly pitching the person with these, we call them in-app purchases or in-app perks, like you want a stronger character or you'd like to advance quicker. You know, you don't want to, what gamers would say, grind through the game. You can bypass the grinding of, you know, like generating coins.
Gamer lingo. Like.
Yeah, it's total gamer lingo. You know, by making these in-app purchases. And it is billions of dollars. It's an incredible market. And one analyst said, you know, Nintendo, by deciding to charge $9.99 rather than going totally free-to-play, you know, they'll make hundreds of millions of dollars, possibly at the expense of not making billions of dollars, right? And so, you know, that to me is a telling statement. I actually think what Nintendo's doing is they're saying our character Mario is incredibly valuable, and you're going to pay for that. You know, you're going to pay for that character. And I'm interested in seeing if this will start a pendulum swing back toward games having some value to them. And, you know, we pay for things we value.
And there's a lot at stake here, too, because, like you said, this is a big move for Nintendo. Some call it a defining moment. What if they fail to seal the deal with Mario, of all things? Where would that leave them?
Well, you know, if Mario can't work as a smartphone game, then you start to ask, well, what can? You know, because he's the most recognizable character. And so, you know, Nintendo has a very rich stable of characters. You know, you think of Link from Legend of Zelda or Donkey Kong. You know, there's any number of them. But, you know, with Mario, and I was surprised by this, this is putting their best foot forward. And so if that fails, you could see that you could take that as a sign that the market isn't interested in Nintendo games and the experience you would get on a phone. And because the experience is going to be different, and Nintendo has said this, it's a different experience. We don't think it's competing with our living room hardware or even our 3DS handhelds because it's a different experience, right? So this Mario game, it's called a runner. And Mario just constantly is propelled forward and you tap to make him jump, right? And so it's a little more simplistic, even though it's going to be a rich experience, it's more simplistic than you might get in a traditional Mario game. And if people don't want to pay for it, you know, that could be either a sign that they're not receptive to traditional Nintendo style games on a simplistic device like an iPhone, a simplistic gameplay experience, right? Or it could be a rebuke of the $10. Mm-hmm. And so Nintendo will have to decide what they're going to do. They've probably already decided what their next games, which are coming in March, what they will cost. We've heard that they'll be free to play. So I think that decision's probably already done. But if Mario doesn't succeed, you know they may not go back to a $10 sort of premium price for a full game because mm-hmm. they would have received the sign that, you know, the free-to-play market is too strong right now.
We're talking to the Journal's Brian Fitzgerald. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
When you own a business, if you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. Thanks to ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites with one single click and have the highest chance of finding that perfect candidate. Plus, you can instantly be matched to candidates from over 6 million resumes. Find out why over 1 million have used ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Wall Street. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Wall Street.
Need to check in on Wall Street? Listen to Heard on the Street and stay one step ahead of the headlines only on WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Thanks for listening. Again, just a week away from the much, much anticipated release of Super Mario Run from Nintendo to Apple devices, Brian Fitzgerald joins us. So, Brian, it's such an interesting climate here because you think of, like, who are these gamers? How are we evolving? How are gamers evolving? Mm-hmm. It almost seems like their newest game plan here is to hook in these new casual players, mm-hmm. coupled with the fact that they have a fading console business to mm-hmm. contend with.
Right.
Maybe that's sort of what they need here in terms of the climate.
Right. You have a couple of things at play here. For starters, you said a casual gamers, and these are people who will pull their phone out when they're on a checkout line or I have 5 minutes to spare. So
exactly.
I can't sit down with a game that has an incredibly long narrative where 5 minutes might get me the amount of time it takes to walk 7 steps in a town and speak to one person.
Right.
Like I want a quick experience, a Candy Crush-like experience. And so a Super Mario Run can give them that. And so, you know, that's what Nintendo, when they say this is a different experience, they're really speaking to that kind of crowd. Casual gamers, there's a high likelihood that they are people who at some point in time were Nintendo gamers, right? Or they think they could be Nintendo gamers because Nintendo games, you know, they've always been considered a casual gaming company, right? When you think of their kinds of games, which are usually family-friendly, they're a little more lighter in mm-hmm. terms of tone and gameplay than the deep, brooding games you might get on an Xbox and a PS4. These are gross generalizations on my part, but it gives you a sense,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And so I think what Nintendo's saying is, well, if we can show some of these smartphone gamers who are super casual gamers our stuff, if they used to be Nintendo people, well, maybe they'll come back to our living room hardware because they'll remember how much joy there was in making Mario jump and flip.
Yeah.
Or you're introducing your stuff to them and hoping to bring new customers on board. So for Nintendo, the smartphone becomes a bridge, a very well-populated bridge, potential bridge to its hardware, which has been fading.
Do you think, some people think Pokemon Go kind of led us to this bridge?
Mm.
Because you think about it, people who have never played games or haven't in years, they're back in the game, so to
right.
speak, pardon the pun. Do you think Pokemon Go had anything to do with that?
I think Pokemon Go showed that a casual smartphone type game can be that bridge that we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some sales data to at least lead you to believe that the latest Pokemon games for the 3DS, which are called Sun and Moon, were the fastest selling games in Nintendo history in the Americas. This follows on the incredible success of Pokemon Go. Now, how do you explain that? I would argue that Pokemon Go reminded some portion of people, probably adults who played the game as a kid, how much fun they had with Pokemon.
Yeah.
And maybe they shared that with their kid. And then Pokemon Sun and Moon come around. It's like, oh, let me try this again. Or let me see if I still enjoyed as much as I did. You know, the Pokemon franchise is very well selling. So we're not talking about, you know, a faded glory returning. You know, the needle moved in millions of copies, but that's still significant. And you could suggest that Pokemon Go had a lot to do with that. And that's exactly what Nintendo wants to do, is take its known brands, the ones you either remember from time past or they kind of resonate a little bit with you, and get them in front of the tens, hundreds of millions of people who use smartphones and say, hey, if you like that or if you remember that, we'll come back, you know, come back home to Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Pick up our newest hardware, which is going to be called Switch, which is coming out in March, which happens to be, by the way, a mobile device.
Yeah, coincidentally.
Right. Well, mobile really is Nintendo's strength.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Wii was like an outlier. The Wii was the machine where you can wave the wand around. It was the motion controls.
Right.
And they went blue ocean on motion control when no one else was doing it, and success. But, you know, it was a sort of a one-time gimmicky thing that worked, but didn't translate into their latest console, the Wii U, which is more of a traditional machine where you hold a joystick, one with a touchscreen on it, and that didn't work out. And so, you know, but what has been working for Nintendo for years has been their handheld machines.
Mm-hmm.
So the Switch really is a system that says, well, we know where our strength is right now, and it's handhelds. So rather than compete with Sony and Microsoft with these, you know, CPU, GPU busting machines and, you know, how many polygons per inch can we fit, blah, blah,
right.
blah.
Right.
We just want to make fun right. experiences that people can carry around with them.
Right.
And so that's what they're doing. They have a strategy now to hit the smartphone market and hopefully get them over to their Switch. You know, it's a mobile base of customers. So it's savvy. It's risky. But I think it's a bold bet by Nintendo.
Yeah, I'm really anxious to see how it'll all pan out. It's an interesting time for the gaming world, you know?
Yeah.
Brian, thank you as always.
Thanks for having me.
Once again, we've been speaking to Brian Fitzgerald, editor for The Journal, covers all things tech. So ends another tech news briefing from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts, now available on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app.